medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success. So I've been looking forward to this recording of this opportunity to talk to you about what you do. We've talked quite a bit offline about your job and what you do day to day. But today I get to ask you a few questions and find out a little bit more and hopefully help others out there understand what a business analyst is and whether or not they are one. So thank you for being willing to allow me to interrogate. I mean, simply have a conversation with you today.
Yes, I have the white light shining above my head, so I'm ready.
Right. So this is what we're going to do with all our guests. We're just put them in a room, you know, blind them, interrogate them. Everybody's going to want to come on and be a guest on the JDE Connection after that. So
definitely. Sign me up. Yeah. Oh, wait, I already did sign myself up.
No kidding. Who wouldn't want to come on and go through that experience? All right. So again, today is what is a BA? So why don't we just start right there? So what is a business analyst? The International Institute of Business Analysis actually provides this description. A business analyst works as a liaison among stakeholders to elicit, analyze, communicate, and validate requirements for changes to business processes, policies, and information systems. The business analyst understands the business problems and opportunities in the context of the requirements and recommends solutions that enable the organization to achieve its goals. So, Chandra, would you say that's a good description? It's a very long one, mind you, but a good description of what a business analyst does for JD Edwards.
I would, Paul. I'd say BAs are responsible for bridging that gap between IT and the business, where we analyze business processes, we identify improvements, we implement change, all with the goal of helping the business better achieve its goals. I'd say if you wanted to give it like a one or two word description, I'd call it an interpreter or a translator. I end up translating those requirements into something that either my developer might need to do or I might need to do within the system to allow the business to achieve what they're looking to achieve.
Okay. In other words, you have to be pretty versed in, you know, what's happening in the business. You need to be, you know, speak accountant, if you will. Sometimes if you're talking to the accounting department, you also have to be able to understand others in the business, whether it's a customer service representative or whoever, and be able to interpret or, you know, and interrogate potentially those folks, right? To decompose their requirements and then, of course, hand them over to your developer or, in your case, you know, with these new tools that we've provided, there's always that opportunity that maybe you yourself could solve those problems. Is that fair?
That is absolutely a fair statement. We definitely have to be versed enough in the business to understand, and that can require wearing a lot of different hats from a business perspective. Of course, you know, for me, my background being accounting, that's where most of my knowledge was. But having been in manufacturing, having been in contracts, System 17, having been in, you know, job costing, I have to know enough to be able to talk to the business to understand what they're really trying to do or what they really need to do, and then be able to translate that into the system speak as well.
So being able to recognize what they're asking for and what JD Edwards is actually capable of doing, so you can actually play matchmaker with feature functionality.
Basically, I'm just a glorified matchmaker. That's okay, what I'm going to go with here on out.
Yes, no kidding. So now we've got translator, interpreter, interrogator, and matchmaker. It's a very interesting combination we have going on right now. So that being the case, would you, you know, are there different types of business analysts? Because, I mean, we talked about maybe more functional there, but are there others?
Oh, absolutely. There's some that are more technical. Some of those technical business analysts may be writing advanced queries. They might have programming skills. They might have CNC skills. And then you have people that are truly more functional, where they have a really vast understanding of the modules and functionalities within each module of JD Edwards. And they focus more on supporting the business and driving maybe what the business might want in terms of enhancements or improvements. Okay. And then some are kind of like me, like I said in our introduction, fun tech. I'm a little bit, you know, good with queries. I don't have any programming skills, even though I took 2 semesters of that in college. I think I forgot that back then. Definitely not a CNC person. Not going to get into the zeros and ones and understand that level. But I have enough. I know enough. I always say I know enough to be dangerous.
And then, of course, you have your functional background. So that, again, yeah. I look at it and say fun tech. And here I thought it was just being fun, being technical. But fun is really functional. So I still like to call it funk tech just because that sounds better to me. But I guess that's
right. But I'm fun too. So I got to throw that in there.
So fun can be fun.
If I'm not having fun at work, why am I working?
That's true. That's true.
That's another episode though.
So many comments I can make right there, but I'm going to move forward. You know, you described the technical, you described the functional business analysts and high level what they do. And what that role really is. So then to me, the next question really is, why is that role important? Why should an organization value this role?
Well, in today's dynamic business landscape, people are always looking to whether it's improve processes or increase the bottom line or create efficiencies within the organization. Leadership really values the business analyst for that unique ability to translate complex data into actionable insights. You know, we play that pivotal role where we can drive informed decision making, we can optimize processes, we can align projects with strategic goals. And our expertise in even being able to go look at market trends or what's coming down the pipeline technologically, how can we mitigate risks? That's a big thing for a lot of companies. You know, can we use this software to mitigate any risks we might have in our business? And being able to really enhance communication, because that's got to be one of our skill sets. In order to be able to talk to the business, to talk to leadership, we have to know how to communicate.
Okay.
We're kind of indispensable partners in helping a business achieve its goals.
Indispensable partners. I like that. I like that term. So it's a good description. As you were talking there, one of the things that went through my mind is you have to be an expert on JD Edwards so that the business and the people using JD Edwards can remain an expert in their domain. And leadership doesn't have to be an expert in JDE. And so you have to be able to share with leadership what JDE can do, and when and leadership can come to you with requirements, I assume. And of course, you have to be able to share with the users what JD Edwards can do as well. So, you know, you're that go-between, that critical bridge between the business and leadership that helps the organization be successful. Let's go a little bit into what you do on a daily basis, what your days are like. So as a business analyst, a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes, what are your responsibilities?
Well, I gather, analyze, and document business requirements. I provide recommendations to end users and leadership once those requirements are defined. I do some project management. I do IT and user acceptance testing. I might train users. I support day-to-day production activities. I have to adhere to IT general controls. I communicate with developers, with CNC, with end users, with leadership, with the goal of having that cohesive project strategy and collaboration through all phases of a project, you know, the development, the testing, the deployment, the post-deployment support, and then there's security. I deal a lot with security in my job.
Is security important?
Slightly.
Slightly.
I've been told.
Wow. You've been told? Wow. So obviously, I think you said it earlier that you wear a lot of hats, and you just described several, I would say almost as many as AJ wore it in Focus this year, perhaps.
Not quite. I'm getting there, though. That's my goal. That's my goal for 2024.
Wear as many hats as AJ Schifano. That's awesome. That's a good goal. There you go. You have to have goals, right?
Absolutely.
So, but let's take a look at a few of those responsibilities that you mentioned and maybe provide some examples so that people, you know, maybe people can relate more and understand better what you were referring to. So when you talk about analyzing and documenting business requirements, can you give me an example of what you mean there?
Oftentimes the business will come to you and they'll want to have some sort of task like, hey, can we automatically apply cash that comes into our lockbox? Sure, of course we can. We have that functionality. And they give you a really broad, you know, hey, can we automatically apply cash?
Oh, that's it. That's the requirement.
That's the requirement.
That's the extent of the requirement. So the answer is yes, and we're done here, right?
Yes, Yeah, we're good. Let's move forward. Let's tackle that. That's when you start getting into, I'd say early on in my career, I learned you really need to be able to ask a lot of questions. You have to keep digging because oftentimes the more questions you ask, the more they come forward with what, .. It needs to do this. It needs to do that. But I can't have it do this in this scenario. So asking questions, huge part of my job in order to be able to analyze and document business requirements.
Fair. I mean, I've got a little bit of experience in this area as well. What you're describing sounds eerily familiar to some of the requirements that we receive at JD Edwards many times. We get enhancement requests for things such as, you know, can we apply cash or, you know, make it do this, make it do that. And it becomes very difficult to understand if you're actually satisfying that requirement without, you know, obviously more detail. So you have to be good at going back and trying to extract exactly what they want and why they want it. Like, what are they trying to accomplish? You know, so don't just ask don't just tell me what it is, the feature functionality that you want, or ask me, can it do this? The answer may be yes, but that might not be really what you want it to do.
Yes. Tell me what your end goal is and what you're trying to accomplish is a phrase that I use routinely. Oftentimes, what they might be looking for can be handled through some other method, whether it's within JD Edwards or even something outside of there that might come into JD Edwards through an import or whatever. So knowing to ask that end goal question is also critical. And not only that, but you know, sometimes you get into some of these projects and you start learning that what you're implementing requires you to implement something else alongside of it. For example, in cash application, in my career, I had a company that wanted to do automatic cash application. Come to find out, as we get into testing, one of the customers was, we didn't have the right payment terms set up for it. But we allowed them to take this discount, even though the discount was really a more complicated discount that actually required us to put in advanced payment terms in order for the automatic cash application to work properly for that specific customer. Otherwise, it was going to say, oh, we're sorry, we're not going to allow you to take that discount.
In that scenario, yes, you're able to apply cash and you met the business requirement, but having not dug deep enough to understand, you know, some of your customers and some of their situations, you didn't know until it was almost too late that you needed to do advanced payment terms and implement advanced payment terms as a prerequisite in order to meet the full business requirement as defined by your customer base. Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair. Interested in learning how other JDE customers are driving success in their organizations? Join one or more of the JD Edwards Special Interest Groups, or SIGs, for informal conversation and community.
Bring your questions, find answers, build your JDE network, share and prioritize product ideas, and help influence product roadmap. To sign up, visit questoraclecommunity.org/groups. What about training users? What does that entail? Is it end users that you're training? Is it business processes that you're rolling out? Is there software that you might be using? I'm just curious because training users seems like a fairly broad category of work.
That's a fair statement. It's very broad. And sometimes it's best to be broad. That way I can cover my bases really easily. No, to answer that question, yes, yes, and yes. I might be training end users. I might be training a business lead that then turns around and trains the users. I might be training additional BAs on something new. I might also use a learning management or LMS, learning management system tool.
Pause for a second. We have our first three-letter acronym of the day, other than JDE, obviously. So congratulations. Add that to the list for our episode on three-letter acronyms or JDE lingo. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
For
anytime.
Future show.
Absolutely. Yes, we will definitely have that show because I could have used that show years ago.
Back to training users. Go ahead.
Back to training users. Learning management system to deliver training. So I may record a process that is new. I may record the steps, how to use it. They may then publish that out through a learning management system, assign it to the specific users that need to have that. And that training gets delivered, whether it's, you know, when a new user is hired or the new functionality is rolled out. So training can be very much dependent on what company I'm with and how they choose to do training, whether it could be led by an actual training department. Some companies have those. Otherwise, it could just be where the IT team actually trains all the users when something new comes out, or maybe they just train what you might call super or power users, and those power users then in turn train the end users.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you. One more topic to just explore that you shared in your list of responsibilities was supporting day-to-day production activities. I can imagine that this can get fairly involved. And when I ask you for an example, it's probably hard to pin down just one, because I have a feeling you deal with this almost every day. But anyway, hence day to day. But could you give us at least one example for folks out there to understand what you mean when you say supporting day to day production issues or activities?
Sure thing. Yeah, there's no end.
Yes, try not to throw any of your coworkers under the bus at this point. Thank you.
I'll try not to do that. People make mistakes. It's simple. You know, sometimes it's as much as, you know, the problem is just that they ran it and they forgot to change processing options. You know, they ran a job and they forgot to change processing options and the output they got wasn't what they expected. It could be something along the lines where your company might do a reorg or a reorganization and they might move branches around and now they don't have access to that branch. Well, is that because you didn't request the new security that you needed to have, or is it because the security was set up incorrectly? That's, you know, both of which have happened over the time where, oops, that branch didn't get put in that role. Whoops.
Oopsies.
The drawing board on that one. Oopsies. So there's all sorts of activities that kind of fall under that day-to-day production activities. And it can be everything from a user can't, you know, access an application in, and they could 2 days ago. What happened? Was it a change? Again, was it a change to security? Was there something else that changed? Because it's not just me working in the system, right? It could be due to another business analyst that made a change and I didn't know about that or know that that change would have that impact. That's happened in certain circumstances. Again, it goes back to communication. Let's communicate.
Communication.
Let's yeah.
Communication is key and training is key. Hey, we've covered both of those. Yay.
Yes.
Well, in those day-to-day production activities, you know, where you're assisting users with, you know, the issues that do come up, what would you say are the top three tools that you use?
Top three tools: data browser, being able to query the database through JD Edwards. I'll use data browser. if it's something really simple and I just need something really quick and maybe I don't have, you know, my SQL queued up, because for those more complicated queries, some level of SQL access or the ability to query the database through table joins is very important to me. I know that I've had users that thought they were in our test environment running a job, and it turns out they were actually in production. And so now I need to make corrections to remove records or to have somebody remove records from the database because they shouldn't be there.
Yikes. This is probably where something called proof mode came to be, I have a feeling.
Yeah, proof mode is helpful. There's a reason you should run your jobs in proof.
Not only that, but usually the turnaround time on a job like that shifts, I think, might be different between environments. You know, one environment might have a few more records than the other.
Well, it might have a few more records or it might have a few more resources. So your performance and on your batch versions might be a little bit quicker in production than it is in your test environment.
Good point. Fair point. All right. So you said, you know, querying the database, so that involves data browser, which, you know, hopefully everyone out there is familiar with data browser within JD Edwards, and then also just some level of SQL access, perhaps outside of JD Edwards for the more complex queries that you have to run. Any other tools?
Yes. For me, FastPath is imperative. The reason for that is trying to find things on menus can be very complicated, especially when you're supporting multiple divisions and the menus are all laid out very differently and we have different versions of this, that, and the other. I can walk a user to say, hey, where are you launching this from? And they may tell me the name of what they're launching, what application they're launching. And it may be different than what it's named on our menu because the business refers to it differently. So sometimes I can just say, can you please click on the question mark over here and tell me what it says? And then I can go fast path to that to say, okay, let me take a look in. Let me see what you're doing. Of course, I can connect to their machine as well and take a look that way. And then I think the final tool that is imperative for me is my Oracle support or MOS, because, you know, we should have a second three-letter acronym in this conversation.
MOS, my Oracle support, shameless plug for Oracle's support organization. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
it has been a
lifesaver for me in terms of being able to, A, figure out, is this a known issue? If I run into something where I'm like, oh, that's strange. It shouldn't be behaving that way. After that, from my Oracle support, it might be, well, I might go there just to start looking. Can it do X, Y, and Z? Can JD Edwards do this? And I might start there.
So known issues as well as trying to get a feel for capabilities, key capabilities, and whether or not they are available within JD Edwards. For those out there that are training new business analysts or, you know, have new BAs coming on board and want to make sure that they have access to the tools that they need to complete their day-to-day, then your recommendation would be make sure they have access to data browser, make sure that they have some sort of access to a SQL tool for more complicated joins and searching of the database. And then, of course, you have FastPath so that they can jump exactly where they need to jump to, when they need to jump to, when they're working with users, versus having to traverse these menus that go several layers deep. And finally, my Oracle support, where if you have an issue or you're getting questions on capabilities, you can quickly identify whether or not it's already been reported or whether or not JD Edwards is even capable. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that today.
My pleasure.
We want to introduce folks to some of our language, not just JD Edwards language. We will have the JDE three-letter acronym episode at some point, but you know, as a part of us trying to have, you know, trying to make education entertaining, you know, as far as JD Edwards is concerned, we wanted to have, you know, a little bit of fun along the way and introduce people to some of our Midwestern speak. So this is the Midwesternism section of the show where we're going to introduce our audience to a Midwestern term that might come in, you know, to our exchanges when we're interviewing people, and we just want to make sure everybody understands what we're saying when we say it. So, Chandra, you get the inaugural Midwesternism of the JDE connection here. Why don't you you do the honors?
Well, our first Midwesternism is oofta. It's not just a Norwegian chip, Paul. It's also a phrase that we use routinely to express surprise, annoyance, relief, exhaustion, disappointment, astonishment, exasperation, or even dismay. Basically, it's a word to use when things are good or they're bad. And my Midwestern roots are definitely there. That word rolls out of my mouth frequently. Something happens and I'm like, oofta. Or let's say I did something and it was hard. Oofta. I had a long week. Oofta.
Somebody runs a batch job in production when they thought they were in test.
Oofta.
So there you have it. This week's Midwesternism is oofta. U-F-F-D-A. And you are correct. If you did hear that correctly, it is a Norwegian chip as well. They are pretty good. So you can look that up and check that out on Amazon or just Google it. All right. With that, I think that's the end of this episode. I got through all my questions. Did we miss anything?
I don't think we did.
All right. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Join Chandra and me on the JDE Connection as we continue exploring the JD Edwards business analyst role. Dive deeper into the skills and attributes that make a successful BA, from project management to creative problem solving. Don't miss part 2 of What is a BA? Subscribe to the JDE Connection for more insights and Midwesternisms.